A bit surprising considering what we've been getting on Thursday all season. We got three really good, entertaining games yesterday with a lot of implications, John. That was the other thing. This wasn't just the Lions and like the Bears, and it's like, oh, okay, great tradition, yada, yada, yada. No, these games actually had meaning, including the one with the Lions in it, and they certainly gave the Bills all they could handle yesterday.
You looked at going into these games, Ian, you had six teams playing. As of yesterday, five of them were in the playoffs, and the sixth team, Detroit, had a three-game winning streak and was playing very competitively, and they continued to play competitively yesterday. So, yeah, it set up that they were very intriguing. The Giants hadn't played on Thanksgiving in Dallas in like 30 years, which seems kind of strange since they're in the same division. So, yeah, you got three really good games with big implications. As you said, now you got Buffalo in better shape than they were yesterday. Patriots not as good a shape as they were going into yesterday, and the Giants, I wouldn't say they're in a free-for-all, but, you know, they're taking on water, to say the least.
You know, when it comes to the Patriots standing-wise, yes, I agree with you, but I think there was a lot of positives to be taken out of that game. Now, I know people, and there's a lot of reason to have issues with some of the officiating yesterday. It was very, I'm not going to say it was one-sided, but certainly the some of the calls against the Patriots were less than ideal, or, you know, most specifically, that non-touchdown catch to Hunter Henry, which I think the more I see of it, the more I watch it, the more replay and images that we get from it, it looked like a very clear touchdown to me, and it's kind of hard, especially when you consider, and a lot of people have shared this, that the play to Travis Kelce against the Colts, same exact situation. The ball clearly comes out of his hands, but it was ruled a touchdown. So the NFL, nearly a decade or more than a decade after the Dez Bryant catch, no catch, still have no earthly idea how to call those things. But from a what can you take away from it standpoint, there were a lot of positives. I thought Mac Jones played his best game of the season. Very reminiscent of that game last year against Dallas where he was aggressive, decisive, and moving the ball. Now, again, it can't just happen 1 week and then go away. You need to build off this and kind of continue to push it because I know the defense struggled against a very good team, John. I mean, let's be real. I mean, the Vikings, we've talked about them for a while. They had the hiccup against Dallas last week, but this isn't just a pushover team. They're a pretty good team. So you went up against them. You went up against arguably the best wide receiver in football. I mean, the more you see of Justin Jefferson, it's harder and harder to deny that he's at least, at the very least, among the league's very best because, you know, he just goes up and does things. It doesn't matter. I mean, some of those catches he made, the coverage was phenomenal. I mean, what can you do about it? You just tip your hat and say, okay, you know, we'll try to get you next time. Now, again, the Patriots didn't play perfectly, and there were, dare I say, there were more mental errors that contributed to the loss than the officiating. Because I look to, first off, the first couple drives outside of the first drive, you only failed to get 3 points off of turnovers. And that's something that's plagued this Patriots team for a while, not being able to capitalize on those turnovers. At best, getting 3 points, John. And we know in the era of Tom Brady, you don't turn the ball over because more often than not, 9 times out of 10, they're putting 7 on the board off that turnover. And that's just something the Patriots lack right now. And we saw that again yesterday. And like I said, mental errors like the running into the punter, although I'll give the punter right credit. He might be rivaling Daniel Day-Lewis in terms of greatest actor, in our opinion, because that especially that second one that fortunately was not called was a laughable flop. But hey, you know, you do what you got to do in this league to get the calls. But Hunter Henry not running out of bounds at the end of the second half when he was just right on the sidelines. You got to know the situation there. You got to run out of play because that cost you a play. And considering where they ended up, that was a very crucial thing. And then you can even, you know, not, you know, give Mac Jones a little slack for not throwing the ball out of bounds a couple plays later. Once again, wasting timeouts, losing time on the clock, and essentially losing plays and opportunities to put the ball in the end zone and greatly reducing your options when it comes to what you can do down there. So I look at it and I say, okay, yeah, the officiating was terrible, and you're not going to convince me that that Hunter Henry pass was not a touchdown. They missed a very bad holding call on the punt return, or the kickoff return, which, again, I mean, we're talking about two plays that you're talking about 11-point swing right there, essentially, because the Patriots ultimately did get a field goal off that play. So that's disappointing, but when it comes to how I view this team, the offense showed me something. It showed me that Mac Jones is capable of playing not safe, not protective football. And it kind of showed us a little bit of what we saw last year out of him that kind of got us excited about what year two would bring. If they can manage to put both together, and I'm talking about defensive performance and a offensive performance like we saw yesterday, they're going to be a very tough team, a very tough team to play. And like I said, there's a lot of positives for this team moving forward, not just this year, but next.
Yeah, that was Mac Jones' best performance of the year, maybe of his career when you think about it, because even in the Dallas game, he had a pick six.
Yeah.
The play before he threw that long touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne, which, you know, last year may have been the most exciting game of the year when they played the Cowboys in Foxborough.
I was standing in front of a bar in Las Vegas watching that game. I remember it.
Yeah, no, it was a very, very entertaining game. So you look at what Mac Jones did last night, that's a positive. You know, they kind of just abandoned the run game because they couldn't run the football, which is just one thing to do. If you can't run it, you know, let's go by.
Look, they were using play action very well.
I mean, right, and good. He's good at that.
And that's the thing. Look, I mean, we're sometimes I feel I confuse myself because some of the things I see the Patriots doing are the same things that we're complaining about when it comes to Brady and the Bucs offense. Like, why aren't you using play action more? Well, the Patriots used play action fairly well, especially early on. I mean, those first few drives, it was kind of really littered in a lot. And I think there were, you know, the end around to Bourne, I think you just need to trash it because that play just never, or the double reverse to Bourne just never mm-hmm. works. I like the idea, don't get me wrong. I thought their play calling was pretty good yesterday. Again, like I said, we can sit here and blame the officiating, and I think you'd have a legitimate gripe and legitimate issue with it. But at the end of the day, I think there was just too many mental errors on part of both sides of the ball. I mean, look, it's a tough assignment to contain Justin Jefferson. But, you know, a couple of mishaps here and there, and he really is going to make you pay. And then, like I said, on offense, you know, you got to run out of bounds, preserve the time. Obviously, running into the punter, that was huge. I mean, that was a huge swing right there. I mean, more specifically in the second half where, you know, despite the great drive to start the half and the unfortunate kick return, you were kind of keeping yourself right into it and weathering that storm. You run into the punter, and that kind of just goes all out the window. And that's really when the game kind of got out of the Patriots' reach. So there are positives, and, you know, we're not, you know, talking about moral victories here or anything like that. But realistically, there were things that you saw that you can really look and say, look, this team can build off of it. And based on really, John, what we've seen across the league, they're not, I mean, you're going to talk about some of the better teams, maybe those tier two or tier three teams. Patriots are right in the thick of it, because this isn't like they're just falling short of what other teams are doing. No, I mean, this is kind of what the league is this year. And yeah, there are teams better than the Patriots, but you're not going to find too many that are head and shoulders above them.
No, I mean, I think they're in that group of teams that, you know, if everything goes right and they win some games, maybe some games that you don't expect them to win, that they can get into the playoffs without question. We know how tough their division is. All four teams in the AFC East are above 500. The Jets are changing quarterbacks this week. Buffalo eked out a win yesterday in Detroit. And, you know, Miami seems to be clicking on all cylinders, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So they're right in there. It was a tough loss, because that could have really put you in good stead heading forward down into the final, you know, month and a half of the season. The key thing here is they're 2-1 in the division and they're 5-2 in the conference. So, I mean, if you're picking games that you lose, it's probably, this is kind of an odd statement, but it's better to lose against the NFC teams than the AFC teams.
They have three games against the Bills and Dolphins still.
Right. And so you've got a chance there to see how you know, obviously containing those offenses will not be easy. And we've seen that against good quarterbacks, they've struggled. Well, against bad quarterbacks, they've done their job against Ellinger and Zach Wilson and the rest of them.
Yesterday, obviously, the points. Look, I mean, sometimes, like I said, you just have to, you know, you just have to chalk it up to, like, look, Justin Jefferson is, again, there are situations, yes, I mean, you could have played it a little bit better. I thought Devin McCourty might have been a little bit late on that crossing route there. That kind of, I think that might have been the go-ahead score. But for the most part, they were very well covered in a lot of these situations, these Vikings receivers, and I think they just made the plays. And obviously, I mean, the 33 points obviously looks bad, but seven of those came from a kick return. So you're talking about the defense giving up 25 points against, a good Vikings team. I mean, they're 8-2, or, well, 9-2 now. So it's disappointing, and obviously you'd much rather, if you're the Patriots, come out of there with a win and make things, excuse me, a little bit easier for you. But at the end of the day, you still have, again, three games against two teams that are above you right now in the divisional standings, and certainly that can make up a lot of time there. So before we get to our picks, I'll ask you. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. The Giants have plateaued, right? They've mm-hmm. kind of hit their wall. Yep. Although I wasn't overly impressed with Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, again, we fall into this trap with Dallas every other week. One week they have a great game, you're like, wow, they blew out the Vikings, and then they stink it up, and then Dak Prescott kind of looks like just a guy. I mean, another couple bad intercepts. You know what I mean? Like, just mm-hmm. he seems to turn the ball over a lot more than what I remember. Maybe I'm, again, the perception it was off, and I got to go back and check my data. But he's turning the ball over a lot. And this Cowboys team, I think, is talented enough to win some games and certainly maybe win a playoff game. But, you know, a week ago, we were talking about them, not us, but, you know, the general public as, wow, they got to be the best team in the NFC. And I'm, like, sitting here thinking, like, I learned no more about the NFC from yesterday than I knew coming into it. Like, in fact, I probably learned less about the NFC because, again, I think the Eagles are the best team, and I'm almost certain that the Vikings are an elite team. I don't know about the Cowboys. I think this Sunday we're going to find out a lot about the Buccaneers. If they come out flat again, then we're like, all right, well, nothing's really been learned this entire season. But if they come out and handle the Browns, all of a sudden you have to sit there and say, like, oops, if you're an NFC team, it's like, well, we lost our chance. That's our opportunity. You know, we could have, you know, watched the Buccaneers kind of sink, have their ship sink. But they hung around. They won some close games. And, you know, now they may look like the best team in the NFC in a couple weeks. I don't know, John. You're wiser than me, i.e. tad bit older.
Well, I'm just older.
Yes.
Yeah, just older.
More experienced.
Yes, I like that better.
Yeah, there you go. More experienced on your behalf. So you must know. Am I crazy here? Are we just like, we have no earthly idea what I feel like the NFC has gotten more muddied each and every week that we've gone on.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think a lot of people now think, and I'm one of them, that the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the NFC, but they're 6-4, and they have Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, a good, not great quarterback. So how confident can you be in that team, who I think on both sides of the ball are really deep and talented? But yeah, I think the thing with Tampa Bay, they were sitting at 3-5, and the Rams had an opportunity to beat them and maybe keep their season alive. Mm-hmm. Instead, Brady goes down the field twice. Once, yeah. The first time, of course, they drop a certain touchdown pass, and he has to go have a game-tying drive for a second time, and he does it, and then, you know, they win. So I think that when you look at all of that, that, yeah, you kind of kept Tampa Bay alive, and they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have a home playoff game, whether it's against the Giants or Dallas or whoever, and good luck going into Tampa against Brady in a playoff game, even though you may have the better squad. But, yeah, I think Dallas, when you look at them, again, two interceptions by Dak Prescott. He's kind of regressed every year in terms mm-hmm. of taking care of the football. His rookie year, he never turned the thing over. And it seems like worse.
He set that right. He broke Brady's record for consecutive passes without, you know, to start his career without throwing an interception. And that was and that really, you know, kind of maybe this was just from Skip Bayless quite a bit, but it kind of started the, Dak Prescott, he has this, he has it, you know, there's you know, the it factor with him, and it's like, okay, he's got to kind of gotten a lot of slack because he's been injured at times, but to your point, like, when are we going to see him elevate to a different level? Because right now, he seems like just a pretty good quarterback, which is fine, but certainly not what we've been sold.
Well, which is all you're going to see in the NFC playoffs, other than Brady, right?
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of quarterbacks that, you know, Garoppolo actually has the second most playoff wins of these teams in contention in the NFC. You know, Brady obviously has 35 career playoff wins, which is insane. Garoppolo has 4. He's next. And then there's a bunch of guys, only a few with 1, and then a bunch that have never even made the playoffs. I mean, Dak Prescott's in his 7th season. He's 1-3 in the postseason. Like, he hasn't even been as good as Tony Romo in terms of playoff success, and that's saying quite a bit. So I think that there's a lot of question marks still with Dallas. Their defense is excellent. As far as the Giants, they need a quarterback. I mean, that's really obvious. I mean, I think they are building a nice roster. They're well coached, all of that stuff, and they were winning a lot of close games, and now they're starting to lose some close games. And I think they obviously need to elevate at the quarterback position before they can really be considered any kind of serious contender.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I thought Daniel Jones deserved a chance to kind of once and for all kind of show what he can do in this regime. I think they're a much better situation coaching and moving forward. But, you know, we've been talking about it all season as they started 7-1. Are they just a little bit ahead of their development? And I think we both kind of felt that that was the case. And over the last few weeks, we've kind of seen them. And it's not like they haven't been competitive. I mean, this isn't a Pittsburgh Steelers situation of a few years ago where they got up to 10-0 and none of us, I don't think anyone, I don't even think Steelers fans, if you give them a little truth serum, thought that that team was a good 10-0 team. You know, they clearly, I think they lost like, what, 5 of the last 6 to end the season. But this team, the Giants, you can see a lot of positives. You kind of figure you know what you have in Daniel Jones, and you might have to go out and upgrade that position. The only problem is, John, it's like, where are you going to go? And that's the big problem or in the NFL. It's like, oh, this is great. They're setting up to have a great team moving forward. But if they don't get the quarterback, it's going to be all for naught. They're going to have great defense. They're going to be kind of like the Patriots. And that's not saying Mac isn't developing. We've seen his limitations at times, and you can sit there and say, wow, you know, this Patriots has this, they have this, but the stark difference in quarterback play a la Brady versus, you know, young, developing quarterback, not every team's going to hit that out of the park, and you know, if you're the Giants, you got to make sure that you do that, because I do think they have a really good team to compete. So, all right, there are other games. I mean, it is Friday, so it means we still have a whole Sunday ahead of us, so...